My mother loves to tell the story of an Easter many years ago when she was awoken in the wee hours when it was still dark by three little children, myself and my two brothers, who got up exceptionally early, got into our Easter baskets that the Easter bunny had left, and then decided to go on an egg hunt while she was still in bed. And she says she remembers laying in bed and hearing us run out the back door to search for eggs. Now, the Easter bunny had not gotten up yet. Easter bunny, let alone had a cup of coffee, so there were no eggs to be found in the backyard. And she heard us pitter-patter back into the house and say, maybe the Easter bunny left the eggs in the front yard. So we all ran out the front door and ran around looking. No eggs to be found. And she remembers hearing to her horror and leaping out of bed when she heard one of us say, I know, maybe the Easter bunny left the eggs in someone else's yard. And chasing after us for fear that we might steal someone else's eggs before they even had a chance to get up and have their cup of coffee. So years ago, some of you may have heard this before, but I will tell you that years ago, when I lived in Portland, we had a typical Portland winter. Now, people in Portland will tell you they have mild weather and they're surprised every time it snows. But when I lived there for 15 years, every single year it snowed. And the problem was it wasn't real snow. It was annoying snow. It was the kind of snow that would snow overnight, give you a couple inches, but then as it started to warm up during the day, that would melt into a messy, muddy slush. You know what I'm talking about? And then when it got cold again that night, that would freeze into a nice solid layer of ice over everything. And then it would snow again that night. So then the ice was hidden. It looked just like snow again, but it was really ice. And then everybody would get out and drive. That's what happened every single winter. So one winter, I was working downtown but living in the suburbs, and it snowed, then it melted, then it froze into ice, and then it just got a little bit of a powder, maybe a half an inch on top of that. And the next morning, they were closing down roads, they were closing down schools, and they were shutting down government offices because it wasn't safe to drive. So that's when my boss called me and said, well, I'm totally snowed in here, so you're going to have to go in and open the office. That's what she said. So I got myself together. I slipped and slid down my ice-covered steps to get to the bus stop right in front of my apartment building. Now, this apartment building was on a slope. It was on a steep hill right in the center of the block, right? So you got the top of the hill up here, the apartment building and the bus stop was right in the middle of the block, and then it went all the way down the hill to the bottom. And what we didn't know, me and this faithful gaggle of people waiting at that bus stop, was that they had shut down that bus route because no bus driver in his right mind was going to take a bus down that hill. But we didn't know that. We were waiting. We were waiting. So, this morning we heard a story about an Easter miracle. Did you hear it? Did you hear? Not the big miracle. Not the big miracle, the rising from the tomb. The other miracle. It goes by so quickly, you can almost miss it if you're not paying attention. It was right at the beginning, early in the morning, when it was still dark, Mary came to the tomb. Did you hear it? Imagine a time when women did not go out alone, when it was not safe for them to go out alone. Mary stepped out. She stepped out in the dark. She stepped out alone. She stepped out into a graveyard. She stepped out going to a tomb where she knew a body was laid. Now, I don't know what happens in the movies that you watch, but generally in the movies that I watch and in the books that I read, and I have seen Buffy the Vampire Slayer all 7 seasons, twice, some of the good ones more than that. Generally speaking, when a woman steps out in the middle of the night, in the dark, in a graveyard, coming up against a tomb that used to have a body in it that's no longer there, that's generally right before she gets eaten. And yet Mary stepped out anyway. Mary stepped out in faith. Mary stepped out alone. Despite all of that, despite her expecting the worst, knowing that no matter what she found, it would be bad, she stepped out anyway. That stepping out towards Jesus, that's believing in something bigger than yourself. That's having faith in the face of fear. That's having courage despite your knees knocking. That, my friends, is a miracle. So I'm standing at this bus stop. There's four or five people with me. And across the street is another gaggle of people that have congregated that are trying to figure out how to get from that side of the street to our bus stop. And they're talking amongst themselves, trying to figure out how they're going to cross an icy, slick, steep road to get to us. And nobody wants to do it. They don't know how to do it safely. So they talk, and finally you see one guy gets real brave. He's going to make a go for it in his sneakers. And he steps out into the road. Now, is there anybody here who doesn't know how this story ends? Is there anybody here that doesn't know what happens next? What happens next? Yeah, the question is, how far down the hill did he slide? He made it to the middle of the street before he did one of those cartoon run-in-place things. You know what I'm talking about? Like when the cliff drops out, but they still keep running for a second before he peeled out, landed flat on his face, spread eagle, on the ground. And he couldn't get up because it was so icy and it was so slick, right? All he's doing is sitting there making snow angels on his face, and he can't get up. He cannot get up. And there's nothing we can do to help him, right? We are on the sidewalk. If we go out there, we're just going to end up in the middle of the road on our faces too. So people on both sides of the street are watching this spectacle, trying to figure out what to do with this guy. And that's when the big old truck comes around the top of the hill, turns the corner, and starts heading down. So in this story, we hear the same thing three times. And we've talked about this before, haven't we? I've talked about this with you before. That whenever you see in the Bible something repeated three times, pay attention. The author is trying to tell you something. We see this a lot in fairy tales, like Little Red Riding Hood, right? Grandmother, what big eyes you have, the better to see you with, my child. Grandmother, what big ears you have, the better to hear you with, my child. Grandmother, what big teeth you have. Pay attention. Something big is about to happen. So we heard the same thing three times. We hear Mary say, "They have taken my Lord, and we do not know where they have laid him." She says it three times. The first time is after she finds the empty tomb and runs all the way back to the house, to the disciples, and tells them this. And they respond with disbelief, because if they believed her, they would not have gotten run up and ran past her to go to the tomb to see it for themselves. They did not believe her. And she is suddenly left alone at the house, upset. The second time she says it is when she gets to the tomb the second time, pokes her head in, and sees the two angels, which she does not realize are angels, sitting inside. And they ask her, "Why are you weeping?" Which shows how upset she is. "Why are you weeping, woman?" they ask her. Because she is grieving. She is distraught. She is confused. And she's still alone in a graveyard at night. Now, the disciples at this point have come, checked out the tomb, and then gone back home and left her again. And the angels ask her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And she says, "They have taken my Lord, and I do not know where they have lain him." Now, if they're really angels, they would know why she's weeping. But they do not talk to her. They do not give her comfort. They do not explain. And she does not understand why they're there. And so yet again, we have confusion, and she walks away from the tomb, yet again, left alone in a graveyard, distraught. The third time we hear it is when she comes face to face with a person right outside the tomb. And he says, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And she says, if you know where they've taken my Lord, tell me so that I may go get him. Tell me where they have laid him." And he responds to her. He responds to her by calling her by name. Pay attention. The author's trying to tell you something. He responds by calling her by name. And she recognizes who he is and says, "Teacher." And all of a sudden, she's no longer alone. She is standing with the person she has been seeking this whole time, much surprised that instead of finding death, she has found him alive. And all of a sudden, her entire experience is transformed. She came out alone and found herself in the presence of angels and in the presence of Jesus. She came out in the dark and suddenly finds herself receiving the light. She comes out in silence and suddenly finds herself hearing a revelation. He tells her who he is, and he says, "I will be ascending into heaven soon." She's the first person that gets to hear that. She is the first and only person he says it to. And all of a sudden, not only does that transform her experience, it transforms her because he says, "Go and tell. Go and tell people." And she has turned from a weeping, upset, lost, alone woman into a prophetess who gets to now go share the good news. It absolutely transforms her experience and transforms her. And that's what happens. That's what happens when we come face to face with Jesus. When we are upset, when we are frightened, when we are feeling alone, Christ meets us where we are. Now, it's easy to have faith when things are going well. It's easy to have faith when the finances are good and our health is good and our relationships are good. It's easy to have faith. But it's hard to step out in faith when we're frightened, when we're alone, when we are sick, when we don't see any options before us, when we feel like our whole world is falling apart. That's when faith gets really hard. And yet, that's where Jesus meets us. That's where God finds us, where God calls us by name, comforts us, and stands with us no matter what we're going through. So, standing on this street corner, or the middle of the street, and this truck is coming down the hill. Now, it's one of those big old monster trucks. You know what I'm talking about? They grow them in the Pacific Northwest. I think that that's where they're born, these gigantic trucks with the grills that are like this, with like the teeth painted on the sides, where you got to pop down a step stool just to be able to get up in the cab. You know what I'm talking about? This is the truck that came around the corner. And the driver figured he's got a big old truck. He can handle driving on a slick hill on ice. And he comes around the corner and starts to head down, and that's when he sees the person lying prone, dead center, in front of his truck. And so, of course, the first thing he does, right, is he slams on the brakes, which locks his wheels, and they spin, and his steering is completely ineffective, and he can't veer off course. And so he starts honking his horn and shouting, "Move, move, get out of the way, I can't stop," he says. Now, he's only going about 15 miles an hour, but he cannot stop. And he's going down the hill, he's going down the hill, and there's nothing we can do to stop this. There's nothing we can do to help this person. And the driver is so distraught. You can see him becoming more and more upset the further he goes. And right there in front of us, he ran right over him. So, what the driver could not see, but what we could see, was that as he rolled over the man grabbed the grill. He grabbed that grill and hung on for dear life and let his feet swing underneath the truck between the wheels. And he rode that thing all the way down the hill. Now, he had snow in his trousers by the time he got to the bottom, but he hung on. He was cold, but he hung on. He was being dragged along the ground, but he hung on. The driver had no idea. The driver could not see. We are all watching this, just stunned. And the driver inside the truck is going ballistic. He is weeping. He is crying. He is shouting. You can see him pounding his fists on the steering wheel that would not turn the course of the truck. And he rode that thing all the way down the hill to where it bottomed off at the bottom and slowed to a halt. And it was at that point that the man on the ground grabbed that grill and clawed his way up and threw an elbow over the hood and pulled himself up and waved. And he said, "Hi, I'm still here, and I'm okay." The driver completely lost it. And he said, "Hi, I'm still here, and I'm okay." And that is where we find our story. That is the miracle. No matter what we're going through, no matter how bad it seems, no matter how few options we have, God finds a way. We're still here, and we're okay. We are a resurrection people. We are a people of unexpected grace. We are a people of second chances. We are a resurrection people. So I would like you to turn to your neighbor now. Go ahead, turn to your neighbor, look them right in the eye, and say, "Hi, I'm still here and I'm okay." Go ahead, say it. "I'm still here and I'm okay." This is our story. And as the body of Christ, God works through us to be those miracles for people. And so I want you to turn to your neighbor again. Make sure you know their name. If you don't know their name, find out their name right now. And you look them in the eye and you call them by name. And you say, "No matter what you're going through," go ahead, say it, "No matter what you're going through, you are still here. You are okay. Jesus stands with you, and so do we." Can I get an amen to that? Can I get an amen to that? Amen. We are still here and we are okay. You are still here and you are okay, and Jesus stands with you. And we stand with you. Can I get an amen to that? Amen. Can I get an hallelujah to that?
Hallelujah.
Can I get an hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah and amen.